The scripture reading for this morning is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 11. 1 John 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 11. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 51, which speaks of the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins, and especially the praying for that forgiveness. 1 John 1, beginning at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So far do we read the word of God this morning. We read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, through chapter 2, verse 11. Now in connection with that, we read Lord's Day 51. Lord's Day 51. On the basis of John, 1 John 1 and 2, we have, in many other passages, we have this Lord's Day. Which is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased, for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Forgive my sins is not a petition that you hear often in the broader church world, This may be because many simply do not want to talk about sin. Many worldly psychologists will say that speaking about sin is bad for one's self-image. Or some will say that speaking about sin can be depressing. So they don't talk about sin. They don't talk about sin in prayer either. However, forgive my sins is something that God's children must pray and something that God's child wants to pray by God's gracious work in his heart. This fifth petition, forgive my sins, is a petition that we must pray. This petition, you remember, is found in the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Jesus has given to us. Jesus taught us to pray those words, forgive us our transgressions, forgive us our debts. Therefore, we must pray this petition. In the second place, we must pray for forgiveness of our sins because this is the God-ordained way in which we receive forgiveness. In 1 John 1 verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we must pray for forgiveness, but also understand that we want to pray for forgiveness by God's grace. We want to pray for forgiveness as those who have prayed the first four petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Think of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. That is, may thy name, O God, be glorified by us. There's that third petition. O Lord, may thy will be done. That is, may we obey the will of thy command. And may we submit to the will of thy decree. Saying, thy way is good, O God. May we do that. Well, we understand as those who sincerely pray those petitions, that we have not perfectly hallowed God's name. We have not perfectly obeyed His will. We have not perfectly submitted to the will of His decree. That's apparent to us as we pray this prayer. That's apparent to us as we hear the Word of God read to us this morning, hear the law. As long as we are receiving daily bread, and are still alive here on this earth, we will be sinning. So God's children, we as God's children desire then to pray, we desire forgiveness. We want to pray that God would forgive us our debts. This morning, let us learn more about this fifth petition. Forgive us our debts. This petition that we must pray, this petition that we want to pray. Let's consider this text under the theme, praying for forgiveness. Praying for forgiveness. First, the bold petition. Second, the only basis. And third, the resulting resolution. The bold petition, the only basis, and the resulting resolution. First, the bold petition. We pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a need to pray this petition because we have debts or sins. Debts is a term that Jesus used for sins sometimes. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, forgive us our debts. And then in a parallel passage in Luke 11, verse 4, Jesus prays, and forgive us our sins. So Jesus used the term debts sometimes for sins. Question and answer 126 shows us that debts is a term used for sins. We read there, what is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions. So in the Catechism 2, debts is a term used for sins. What is a debt? A debt is what we owe to someone when we have not paid what is required of us. A debt is what we owe to someone when we have not paid what is required. Think of this example. A student is required to pay college tuition if he's going to go to that college. Well, that student doesn't pay that amount that he is required. So that student goes into debt to the school. He owes money to that college. When someone sins, he goes in debt to God. We all have an obligation to obey God perfectly all of the time, every moment of our lives. When one sins, disobeying God, he has not paid to God what he owes. He has a debt to God. As those who commit many sins, we have many debts. We commit many actual sins every single day. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us." We commit sinful deeds, we say sinful words. Just ask yourself this morning, last week, did I show love for God and for my neighbor with every single word that I spoke? Of course not. Also, we have sinful thoughts and desires. Ask yourself, did I seek the glory of God in my thoughts? In every single thing that I thought last weekend, in everything that I desired. And again, we say, of course not. I failed again and again. Now, it's not only that we commit actual sins, but we also have a sinful, corrupt nature. And the Catechism gets at that too. Question and answer 126 speaks of our transgressions, that is, our actual sins. Our failure to glorify God in our thoughts, our words, our actions speaks of our transgressions. But question and answer 126 also speaks of that depravity which always cleaves to us. Our depravity refers to our corruption that is within us, our sinful nature. Having a sinful nature, having sinned in Adam, a sinful nature was justly passed down to each one of us and to our children. We have a sinful nature that is totally opposed to God. I'm responsible for that nature that is opposed to Him, that hates Him. So you begin to see that we have committed many sins and we have a sinful nature. So we have debts in the plural. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts." And in the Catechism, we see the word debts in the plural. Remember, we are obligated to give God perfect obedience at every moment from our first breath to our final breath, perfectly loving Him. But we don't. We have not failed to do that just once. We have failed to do that again and again and again, really trillions of times. We have many debts, trillions of sins. Now, sins and debts bring misery to us. Our sin and debt bring misery to us because we see that we cannot pay to God what we owe to Him. We owe God perfect obedience all of the time, but we have sinful natures, so we do not pay what we owe. And we cannot. Having sinful natures, we do not obey God perfectly, and even our best works are stained with sin. And each time that we do not obey God perfectly, we add to our debt. So we are adding to our debt every day. It's growing and growing and growing and growing. That's all we can do is add to that debt. And as indebted sinners, we deserve to be punished. In the past, if a person was in debt, he was punished horribly. The parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 18 shows that this is true. You can look that up later today. Matthew chapter 18, there Jesus speaks of a man that went into debt, lost his property, was sent to prison, and his family sold into slavery. Horrible punishment. You think about that, kids. Your father being put into prison because he went into debt, and you being sold off into slavery because of that. It's horrible. But being in debt to God is even more serious. As 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is in the light. He is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. He's opposed to sin. He utterly hates it. So a sinner who has not paid what he owes, he is damned to hell. As those who have seen our sins this morning, seen them even in the past week, we know that we are in debt to God as sinners. And we see that we deserve then horrible punishment. That reality is in our conscience when we sin. I have sinned. I am now in debt to God. And what I deserve is eternal punishment in hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where one is always grinding his teeth in pain as he suffers under the wrath of God forever and ever. It never ends. We have debts. Many, many debts. Now in the fifth petition, we pray, forgive us our debts. Oh God, forgive us our debts. In this petition, we are confessing that we have debts. We say, forgive us our debts. When we say that, we are confessing that we have sinned. We have a sinful nature. We commit actual sins. We are saying, oh God, I owe Thee perfect obedience all of the time, but I have not obeyed Thee perfectly. I have not fulfilled that obligation. I have actual sins. I have a sinful nature. When we speak of debts before God, we are also acknowledging what we deserve as those who have debts. We are acknowledging, oh God, I'm a debtor, and I deserve to die forever in hell as just punishment for my horrible sins, for my debts, worthy of destruction. Think about those things when you pray, people of God. Think about those things when you pray, forgive us our debts. Think about this. That means I have debts. That means I'm a sinner. I have a sinful nature too. And I deserve eternal destruction. Jesus taught the disciples and teaches us to use specific words when we pray. And think about those words. So when you pray, forgive us our debts, you think about what that means. Sinners, deserving of eternal destruction. Now in this fifth petition, we acknowledge our debt, but we also ask for forgiveness for our debts. Forgiveness is God's legal declaration that our debts are removed. Our debts are removed from our legal account. The word forgive in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 means to remove, to release, to send away. When God forgives, He announces to our consciences, your debt is removed. I release you from having to pay it. I will not remember your debts. I will not hold them against you. I will not let those debts come between me and you and our relationship. Catechism speaks of forgiveness in that way. Catechism, though, uses a little bit different words. The Catechism says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. When God forgives, He does not impute to us our transgressions. He does not credit those transgressions to our legal account. Instead, He declares, your debt is removed from your legal account. Your sins are gone from your legal account. In this fifth petition, we are asking God for forgiveness. Oh God, declare to me that my debt is removed. Oh God, declare to me that my sins are sent away from Thy sight. They're gone, and I am not guilty before Thee. Now, a prayer for forgiveness is that prayer. Oh God, declare to us our debts are gone. But a prayer for forgiveness implies that we are also praying that God would see us to be righteous, that He would declare us to be righteous as those who have perfectly obeyed Him. We need the positive. We need to be debt-free. That is, we need to be without sin in God's sight. But we also need to be seen as those who have perfectly obeyed Him, as those who have perfectly fulfilled that obligation of obedience, of love to Him. Now, why is that? Why do we need the positive as well? There is eternal life only for those who have perfectly fulfilled the obligation that God has given to us to obey Him all of the time. There is eternal life only for those whom God sees as having perfectly loved Him all of the time. Only they have eternal life. Only they are worthy of it. And so we pray, forgive our debts, declare to us that our debts are removed, but also, O Lord, declare us to be those who have perfectly obeyed Thee. Declare us to be perfectly righteous in Thy sight. Credit perfect righteousness to my legal record. That's a bold request. When you start to really think about that, that is such a bold request. Did you understand that a little bit? Think back to that example of that student who owed his college money, wasn't paying that debt. A poor student, he owes his college $50,000. Now, imagine that poor student walks into the financial office and he says, remove that debt from my account and instead credit to me $50 million in the positive. That'd be quite a bold request. It's what we ask in spiritual terms in the fifth petition. Oh God, remove my debt and credit to me perfect righteousness. Credit perfect obedience to my account. That's a bold request. We pray that we might be forgiven, that debt might be removed only on the basis of what Jesus has done. Only on the basis of what Jesus has done. We do not pray that God would forgive us by ignoring our sin. God is not a God who ignores sin. He is a holy and just judge. And a just judge does not say, oh, it does not matter that you have done those wrong deeds. It does not matter that you have broken the law. No, a just judge demands payment for debts. If the just judge is going to forgive a debt, there must be payment. So, we do not ask God to forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts by ignoring that debt. Also, we do not pray that God would forgive us on the basis of something that we will do. We cannot perfectly obey God. We can't do that. We cannot pay to Him what we owe. Therefore, we do not pray that we would be forgiven on the basis of any work that we would do. positively. We pray that God would forgive us only on the basis of what Jesus has done. We pray that God would forgive us for Jesus' sake. That's what the Catechism teaches, which is the fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood. For the sake of Christ's blood, do not impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Christ's blood stands for really his all of his suffering, but also to his death on the cross. Blood there is a symbol of Christ's death for us. By his death, Jesus Christ paid for our debts. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2 speak of that. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Part of the idea of propitiation there in verse 2 is that Jesus made the payment for our sins. Jesus suffered the punishment that we deserve to suffer as sinners, as those in debt. And also, the text, or 1 John 2, verse 1, calls him Jesus Christ the righteous. That is, calls him the one who perfectly obeyed God his whole life long. Jesus Christ the righteous. Christ paid our debt. He took upon himself our debt and suffered what we deserved to suffer. Suffered the punishment we deserved in our place. And he lived a perfectly obedient life. And his obedience is our obedience before God. We pray, then, God, forgive us our debts. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Declare to us that our debt is removed from our account because of what Jesus did on the cross. Declare to us that we are perfectly righteous before thee because of what Jesus has done, the perfectly righteous one. So we pray that we might be forgiven only on the basis of what Jesus, our Savior, has done. Also, understand that God answers our prayer for forgiveness only on the basis of what Jesus has done. God answers our prayer only because of what Christ has done. Our prayer for forgiveness is a bold request, but God does indeed answer this prayer. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So when we confess our transgressions, God does declare to our conscience, forgiven, righteous before me. I see you as those who have perfectly obeyed me. Our prayer is answered. That bold request is answered. That's amazing. God does not answer this prayer on the condition that we ask for forgiveness. When 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It does not mean that forgiveness is conditional upon us asking for it. If God's answer of forgiveness was conditional upon us asking for it, then we would be earning forgiveness with God. And we cannot earn forgiveness as sinners whose best works are stained with sin. We can't earn forgiveness. 1 John 1 verse 9. It means that confession is the God-ordained way in which we receive forgiveness. God gives to us faith so that we believe in Christ. Believe in Him for all of our salvation. Gives to us faith so that we go to Him in prayer. And in that way of prayer, in that way of praying for forgiveness for our sins, for our sinful nature, Jehovah declares to us, forgiven. Your debt is gone. Righteous in my sight. In the way of praying for forgiveness, God forgives. And God answers our prayer for forgiveness. He makes that declaration to our consciences, makes us to know it only for Jesus' sake. Jesus at Calvary paid for all of our debts. Those debts are gone from God's sight. And because Christ paid for our sins, God answers our prayer for forgiveness. And He declares to us that those sins are gone, that those debts are removed. We've experienced that this past week. We've experienced that in the past in our lives. We experienced that even this morning as we hear the word brought to us. We feel the burden of those sins upon our conscience. We feel the burden of those wrong thoughts, those sinful thoughts towards others when they do something that we don't appreciate. We feel the burden of those sins upon us when we see. When we come in here this morning, I have not glorified God always with my words. That burden weighs upon us. And we cry out, God, forgive us our debts for Jesus' sake. And God answers our prayer. He makes us to know in our conscience that those debts are gone. He makes us to know in our conscience that not only is the debt gone, but we are rich in righteousness before Him for Jesus' sake. And we go to our homes justified as that publican did in Luke chapter 18, who cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went to his home justified, declared righteous. He heard that declaration in his conscience. And we do too today. What a gracious God we have. Brings us to know that rich, rich forgiveness in Christ. Praise be to God today. The fifth petition teaches that those who are forgiven also have a resulting resolution or determination to forgive one another. Those who truly know that forgiveness, they have a determination to forgive others. The fifth petition says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The last phrase of that petition must be understood very clearly. Forgiving others for their sins against us, it's not a condition that we fulfill in order to earn forgiveness from God. If we said it was, then it would be the case that we would be earning forgiveness. And as we've showed already, we cannot earn forgiveness from God. Even our best works are stained with sin. It's wrong to think that we could earn forgiveness from the most holy, righteous and just God. But what does that last phrase mean? That last phrase in the fifth petition again teaches that as those who are forgiven, it's our resulting determination or resolution to forgive others. Question and answer 126 indicates this. We read, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. Even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So in God's grace to us, in His undeserved favor to us, He forgives us. The Holy Spirit declares to our conscience, forgiven, those debts are gone. Righteous in God's sight, being forgiven, we are determined to forgive one another. And let's do that. Being forgiven, let us actually forgive those who sin against us. That does happen. Others do sin against us. And in a certain sense, they do go in debt to us. Because God has commanded men to show love to their neighbor. Others are to show love to us. When they do not do that, when they disobey God's command, they, in a real sense, go into debt to us. And that happens often. We are all sinners here with sinful natures. We sin against one another. Now, when one confesses their sins to you, forgive them even as God has forgiven you. That's important to understand. We forgive as God has forgiven us. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's a relationship there. When someone confesses their sins to you, you say back to them, you are forgiven. You don't say, oh, that's not a big deal, whatever. No, I forgive you. That debt is removed from my sight. It's gone. I won't talk about it anymore. I won't hold it against you. I won't let that sin that was committed hinder our relationship with one another. I won't do that. I forgive you. Forgiving others as God has forgiven us also means that when someone does not confess their sins to us and that sin truly has offended us, it has hurt us, we are to go to them and speak to them very humbly, but speak to them about that sin and call them to confess it, to see the error there and confess it. Think of how God works in us, how God seeks that we would confess our sins to Him. He works in us to do that. May we go to the brother then who has sinned against us and who has not confessed and speak to them humbly. I'm a sinner too, brother, but you've hurt me. Speak to them humbly. And when they do confess their sins, you say, I forgive you. Now that's very hard. It can be so very hard because there are terrible sins committed against us. We have sinful natures. Husbands sin against wives, speaking wrong words. People in the congregation sin against others in the congregation. It happens between school children at school. It happens between high school students. One says a wrong word about another one and they hear about it. And it hurts. It's hard. It's hard to forgive them, even when they say they're sorry. When you are tempted not to forgive, remember God's forgiveness of you. When you are tempted to talk to others about that sin that's been committed, that you have supposedly forgiven that person for, remember God's forgiveness of you. When you are tempted in the middle of a fight to bring up that sin from the past that you forgave that person for, but now you want to bring it up, you want to show them how they hurt you in the past, remember God's forgiveness of you. Declare forgiveness. Do not remember that sin. Do not hold it against that person. Do not let it hinder your relationship with them. When we do hold that grudge, we really are showing hatred for the brother. Something that John, by the inspiration of the Spirit, condemns in verses 8 through 11 of chapter 2. Condemns that hatred of the brother. Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So let's be people this week that confess our sins. Pray, O God, forgive us our debts. And think about that petition. God, forgive us our debts for Jesus' sake. You will know God's declaration to you. Forgiven, righteous in my sight in Jesus Christ. And knowing that forgiveness, let's forgive one another to the glory of the God of our salvation, who has shown such marvelous mercy and grace to us. Amen.